this year. A lot of material covered here this morning. So I can see going past the shoot. He probably did something like 1.5 miles an hour. And anyhow, but,
I'm sorry.
I talked to you a bit this morning about a subject matter that determines who you are, what you are in society, what you are at work, what you are in life, what you are the father, what you are the parent. And the subject this morning, it tells you what you are as a citizen. It will determine your spiritual destiny. It defines your intensity of your relationship with Jesus Christ. It will set the success of the bonds of your marriage to your wife. This characteristic will establish your goals and objectives in life. It also will, like I said, determine your obligation with our church. It will set and establish our obligation with our family, with our employers, with our neighbors. This characteristic is what determines you as a human being. And that characteristic is commitment. Today, I'm going to talk to you about commitment. This one's going to be here. Anyhow, commitment. So I looked up the dictionary, Webster, Noah Webster, and many of you may know, Noah Webster was one of the founding fathers. It said he used to know all the, could remember that all, but just about the whole Bible memory. Didn't know that. But anyhow, in his dissertation, what happens in Continental Congress back in the early times, the Continental Congress is about ready to dissolve. They couldn't agree on stuff. You know, whether each little state should be its own government, or each entity should, the whole, should be one government under one central, all the little states be one unified government. Okay? And so they all broke up. And Noah Webster was one of the ones who said, hey, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And it was after his prayer that they came back, and they were more committed to establish our government as we have today. But Noah Webster was one of the ones, as you want, most of you in your house have an article published or written or defined by Noah Webster, which is the Webster's Dictionary you have nowadays. Okay? That came after him. He was one of the founders of the dictionary. They were defining terms and what they meant. But anyhow, in Noah Webster, in the dictionary we have, it says commitment is the act of pledging oneself or engaging oneself. A pledge or a promise, an obligation, an allegiance, or a dedication, an agreement to pledge to do something in the future. Okay? Now my definition is a little more simpler than that. I don't get into all the technical stuff of it. My definition is what? Is this. Is sticking to your goals and objectives. And regardless of what the circumstances are about you or what's going on around you, you keep to those objectives and those goals. Thank you very much, kids. Okay? That's my definition. I used to run marathons, which is 26 miles, okay? 26.2 miles. You don't just do that overnight, okay? You don't still start running 26 miles in one day. It ain't done nothing. I can give you the whole dialogue of the exercise and the commitment you need to make so you can complete the task. When my first wife passed away, I took a little big hiatus here, and I went with the Army Corps of Engineers, and I went over to Kuwait. And one of the things we always focus on in the military is your objectives. Okay? You always kept the objective. Every mission has an objective. Those of you that are in the military, how many of you are in the military? You know what the task is, yes. You have an objective. You have a goal you're set to do. And that's your job. And you stay committed to that objective until it's complete. So, one senator once said in the commitment, he said, you know, you can get any Congress, you can get any seat in that any Congress if you had 300 dedicated employees. You can achieve any seat in Congress if you had 300 dedicated people working for you. Some of us can't afford to be dead because we can't afford to be dead, you know? And, but, and, that they're, I want to say a couple quotes here. It's not like Solomon was. You know, Solomon could have done everything and everything. He was the wealthiest man in the world, the healthiest, wisest man in the world. I often wonder why. Here's a guy who's so wise. Why do you need 700 wives and 300 concubines? Do you ever think of that? I mean, I think of things like that. Or why, or, but the, really, and the thing I think, the reason why that is because, you know what? Solomon had to try everything. We would never got the book of Ecclesiastes or all the blah of Proverbs that he wrote if he would have tried every avenue and every facet of life. You know, so all those things were brought together, but, you know, he was committed. I'm going to go through a couple quotes here of people that, Peter Drucker, he was a, he wrote a lot of books about business management, principles of business, okay? How do you operate in business, what to do in business. He said, unless a commitment is made, there are only empty promises and hopes, but no plans. Pablo Coelho, he was a lyricist, and he was a Brazilian lyricist. And he said, and his one of his quotes are, and I've heard this before, I'll say, but it says, freedom is not the absence of commitments, but the ability to choose and commit to those that are important. Let me read that again. Okay? In a day and age when everybody wants this quote unquote kind of socialistic ideas or socialism, freedom is not the absence of commitments, but the ability to choose and commit to those that are important. Roy G. Bennett, who is Lightning Heart, had a magazine, Lightning Heart magazine, you know what I'm talking about. He said, the level of success you achieve is directly proportional to the depth of your commitment. Commitment is very important in your life. Okay? And one other final, my final quote, Abraham Lincoln. I gotta go to Abraham Lincoln. You can't do a quote without saying Abraham Lincoln, right? Okay? Abraham Lincoln said, commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. It is what a character is made of. The power to change the face of things is the daily triumph of integrity over skepticism. So, my question to you all is, what are you committed to? Let me say, what should we be committed to? You know, God, church, families, neighbors, pleasures, activities. It comes deer season, I know my commitment gets kind of thrown out the window with a lot of other things, you know. Anybody switch to your hero, and fishing season, trout season just gave me yesterday. How many were committed to trout fishing? Okay, committed? Yeah. But pleasure, sports, self activities. You know, I saw a quote here said about, sports activities. Let me go here back. One of the quotes they said about, like, mature people, it says the difference between mature people and immature people is that mature people live by their commitments. Immature people live by their emotions. Isn't it kind of true? But what drives you? What are you committed to? You know? A lot of us are committed to working hard. We're working, we're functioning, we're focused on our 401ks. Is it the money? Is it the material things? Is it your land? Is it your house? What are you focused on? What drives you to live, work each day? You know? So, where do we go to find the answer to all of this? We go to the Bible. So I'm going to go to the Word here, but before I do, I got to tell you a little bit of a story. Humor is good medicine, right? But there's a pastor. There's a pastor one time. He lived out in Colorado near the Grand Canyon, and instead of him and his wife walking, they decided to buy some horses. So he bought these horses, and he thought, well, hey, I'm a pastor. I need to do something more spiritual with the horse here, more religious with the horse. He thought it'd be a good testimony. He said, well, I'll teach my horse when I want him to go. I'll say, praise the Lord. And when I want him to slow down, when I want him to stop, I'll say, amen. Okay? And he taught his horse to do that. He worked over there all year long. He got his horse. And one day, him and his wife was out riding, and of course, what happens? A rattlesnake scares the horse. The horse takes off running. They're right by the Grand Canyon. He's there, and they're all pulling back the reins, pulling back the reins. Amen, amen, amen. And he sees the body at the top of his lungs. He's getting close to the canyon. He's being pulled back. He says, amen, here's everyone, amen. And the horse just stops just in time before the end of Grand Canyon. And he says, he leaned over, he just leaned back. He's crazy. I don't know what happened to horse after that. Anyhow. He was good at it. Anyhow, the point I want to make is, are you committed? Individuals, are we committed? You know, are we committed to God? Let me read some scriptures here, and I wrote these all out so I don't forget them. Because I went out to tell them, if I don't write them down, I'll mistake something. So it says Proverbs 16:3. Now if you want to write these down, go right ahead. I'll give you a bunch of them here quick. Like I said, I want to run through this front part a little fast until I get to the real part of the message here. But I want to go through the front here part. It says, Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plan will be established. The word established means success. You will be successful. Okay? I had a business. I was self-employed for 30 years, okay? I had an engineering firm. Ran out of a house. Now, I'll tell you what. When you have a business, life changes real quick. When my employees were home and playing games with kids, as a business owner, some of you are self-employed. How many of you are self-employed? Let me raise your hand. Well, raise them higher than that. Come on. Okay, good. You know? When you're self-employed, the employee goes home, and you know what? You're stuck doing the billing, the invoicing, the proposals, the taxes, the payroll, all the other employees, and write letters at night, all staying up all hours at night. These groggy guys. I thank goodness I had a wonderful wife that did all the accounting part of it, because I don't know how I'd ever done without it. But you're committed. I was committed to my employees. My rule was that if I made my employees come in on Saturday to work, I would be there working. I'm responsible for their livelihoods. I'm responsible for their getting a paycheck every week. There are many days I didn't get one. But they know. You're committed to your people. I'm going to go over some statistics here later on, a little bit later on, okay? But you're committed to your work. I mean, some of us do the minimum amount of work we have to do, just so we get by, you know? I just have to do enough. That's all I need to see. I'm good. I'm out of here. They call it. I'm out of here. I'm a minute too soon. I worked down in Harrisburg for an architectural firm for 10 years. We did a lot of, actually, probably another firm, but I'm not going to mention it. But, worked down in Harrisburg. It always amazed me, you know, that as a Christian guy, what happens if I would listen to godly radio, or godly sermons on the way down? Maybe like John Hagee or David Jeremiah or pick one. They like podcasts. I mean, if I'm going to be on the road, I'm going to listen to something good instead of that worthless music or someone talking about sports and radio and bashing everybody, you know? So I thought, well, I'll just go put Christian radio. See, you are what you eat. Some of us are a starvation diet. Alright, you know? Oh, do we hear the Lord every morning? Do you thank God every day you're born, you're alive? I was going to repeat that prayer request here. You know, this week has been, I would call it, it's similar to what they call Hell Week in the SEALs for my family at this point. I had a funeral to go to on Friday. Last Saturday before Easter, we had my father-in-law had a stroke, and he's in the hospital, and he's not coming home. We had another neighbor that's close to us that we all know. He's in UTI. He's gonna come back to his house again. Okay? Because the devil throws that stuff at you this week. I knew it was gonna be that. Whenever you start serving God, guess what? The darts will come at you. I don't care what you do. The darts are gonna come. You know? Let me finish on with the scripture here. The next one is going to be the 2 Chronicles 16:9. So be prepared. You know, when you start serving God, be prepared. When you're committed to God, be prepared. The Christian life is not an easy walk. You know? It's never been. It's never going to be. Never will be. But let's go to 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are committed to Him. Is your heart committed to God? he had a business. I knew definitely that that was God's will for me. I favored so, but the whole time I was the one starting it all up. And I didn't know, I was on the apple from way down in the southern end of Juniata County, folks. You know, I started out with nothing in life, and just like many of you. You know, what takes a crazy dapper boy down in southern Juniata County and to go into success to where I've been? I can't illustrate that. I would have never done that for him. God was with me. The day I started business, my favorite verse was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Can I hear an amen to that one?
Amen.
I can do all things. I hate the word. I can't. I don't want to hear it. I can't do this. I can't do that. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me those words. You know, there was a pastor one time, he cut the word impossible out of there. They told him to look up the word impossible in this pastor's dictionary. He looked just over the page and said, how did it cut out? Yeah, because all things are possible. Remember that. I don't care if you kids, young kids here, sitting around here today, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do something. For me as an engineer, that's more fuel for me than I feel. It gives me more strength to keep going on. Let's go to the next one. Okay, Ephesians. Servants, be obedient to your masters for in fear as unto God. Are you committed for your employers? Are you committed to your employers? That's what that's talking about. It's commitment to your bosses. Are you committed to your bosses? When I worked for the architecture firm in Harrisburg, okay, let me just say that it's amazing how I was there before anybody ever came. I was there at 6:30 every morning. I lived up here in Thompson Town. I came here to this church. But I lived up in Thompson Town. I drive to Harrisburg every day. It was an hour drive. I came down to Ross Point, so you know how long that was, down by the turnpike where you hit the turnpike. So you know how long it was, the drive was. Something that was back when the old highway was down through. Remember the 2-lane highway through Dalton? Anybody raise your hand? Amen. Because some of you drove that every day, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. It amazes me how, like, in getting the word of God, it amazes me, you know, I always get the crappy jobs. I get the projects that were due tomorrow. Okay, everybody always comes to me with their problems. You know, I was like, what in the world is going on here? You know, why did they come to you? Why? I kept asking myself, you know, I said to my boss, how come you always give me the deadline? I mean, why can't you give it to the other knucklehead over here? You're not doing nothing. You know, why do I get stuck with these crazy deadlines that are due tomorrow? I ain't got time for this. You know, I got two other projects to work on. I got a set of shop drawings here that need review, blah, 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 blah. Okay? He said, you know why I go to you? Because you get it done. He said, I trust you to get done every time. He said, you know, the cows will never get done fine. You know? Which leads me to another point. You as a Christian, we should be the best of all employees God ever made. You should be the most integrity, most straightforward, most honest, most dedicated employees that a boss had ever had. You should be that way. You're like that way. I guarantee you that you'll get noticed. You know, I mean, a lot of people probably hate that because, look, he did this. Get used to it. Get ready to send the fiery darts to come with it. It will. And the other next one is the Hebrews 10:25, okay? Do not forsake assembling of ourselves together. Are we committed to our church body? It is fantastic. Amen to you guys here. This is fantastic. From when I came here, there was the church was about half old, and it's just great to see all of you here. The Lord is working. You guys sound great when you sing. I didn't hear that. That's beautiful. Oh, my goodness. But are you committed to your family? Your friends and your family? You committed to your neighbors? You know? And we were in your apartment. Where's Martin? I don't know where you're at. There you are. Okay. I wish I was learning this morning, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. Okay. We were talking about friends, friendships this morning in Sunday school. that are committed to you will stick closer than a brother. You will have nothing better. I mean, I got a friend right here in front of the road. He's up here. You know, been a brother to me ever since we came here at Church Curry. You know? And through it all. The next one, the final one. Says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. Are you committed to your body? Now, teenagers, I'm going to go on a little bit of subject role here. And they say you shouldn't say this in church, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because, you know, I listen to a lot of Billy Graham's sermons. And you know what? He's talked about this subject like in 1957. He talked about it. Every sermon that I've listened to, he talked about this subject all the way up to 1993 to 96. I mean, you quit your last one. I say, how does this one? You know? This whole topic is sex. Yep, I said the magic word. Guys, sex. Sex is a beautiful thing. It's meant for the propagation of the species. It's meant to exhibit true love between a husband and a wife. And that's the key, folks. Okay, young kids, it's between a husband and a wife. Any boy that says anything else, or any girl that says anything else besides that, without putting the ring in your finger and didn't take me to the altar, I'm sorry, walk away. Okay? You want to hear the truth about it? That's the truth. That's God's word. That's what it says. You have a problem with it? Take up with God. Just tell him what it says. Marriage is between a husband and a wife. It is the most intimate expression of love between a couple. Period. Amazing. I get a great charge, okay? The next one is. The last one I have here, it's same. Luke 19 has the same about the same thing. It says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I put in there all your strength and all your mind. That's the first commitment. Do we love God? That is made the passion. So I'm going to run through some quick statistics here. Okay? Are we committed nowadays? You know, I did some research on commitment here. It says 50% of the marriages in this day and age end up with divorce where cohabitation is the norm. Okay? Folks, cohabitation, I don't care who you are, it's weird to do that. I'm telling you, it's not biblical, it's not God. You know? God frowns on that. If you can live with a woman, you can surely marry her. I didn't say it. That's what the Bible says. 63% of businesses say that retaining employees is harder than hiring them. 63% of businesses. More than one-third of all employees are actively or casually seeking another job. Not very much commitment there, is there, in statistics? The Gallup poll, let's go to the church chat, let's go to the church chat, let's research the church chat activity statistics on this. It's from Gallup and Barnum, and this is a recent study, this is a 2022 study. It says 20% of all Americans go to church on a weekly basis. 20%. 41% attend a church monthly. That's not good. Consider about, 20 years ago, I think it was 50% went to church on a weekly basis. And you think we're putting better society? I don't think so. Yeah. Now, there are some encouraging things here, though. Now, Barnum Research did have some good positives, okay? The positive thing is, and I'll read this to you, and then the last statistic on that negative side is that 57% of the people seldom or never attend a church at all. 57%. We don't need to go anywhere to be a missionary. You don't. Now the good news here is that basically baby boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials all show a drastic increase from 15 up to 25% of not attending church. And that's what the Gen X, the baby boomers generation, that's the Gen X, I'm sorry, and the millennials is 25 to 39%. So more of our younger kids are actually attending church now. But you got to remember, this statistic has come off the 2021 COVID data. Okay, so when everything just went off. But it is encouraging. It tells me the younger generation is, guess what? We need some stability in our lives. Because you're not going to get anywhere else. You know? You're not going to get stability anywhere else. Government cannot legislate goodness, kindness. They cannot do it. All that stuff comes from here. And how you get that in your heart? You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And how you get more of the Holy Spirit? You gotta get more of the Holy Spirit. You gotta get more enemies. You gotta get more church. You gotta get more. That's how it comes. It don't come any other way. So my recommendation, and what I say to you all, is put God first in your life. What's God say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I got saved when I was about 13 years old. Okay? At a, believe it or not, a Jacob's Brother concert in East Waterford, in the Presbyterian Church in East Waterford. That was where I got saved. Did I act like a Christian for like 10 or 15 years? That's probably the worst example of a Christian you ever saw in your life. Okay? And the circumstance happened to me when I was in New Jersey after I got out of college. I got involved with a lady who had a son, and she ended up getting pregnant and having an abortion. Okay, I've never seen that. That's what happened, folks. And that changed my life. Because the woman never told me until afterwards. I didn't know a thing about it until afterwards. And I cried. I walked up and down the beach. My first time I ever saw the shore, I moved there. Okay? I cried up and down the beach that night. I said, God, what's life about? He said, come home. I'll show you. Like I said, look, you're a poor boy. I'm nowhere. You're not coming. I had nothing. I didn't know anything about anything. You know, I didn't want to call them. That's all. I mean, you will abundantly bless you above you. I want to go to a couple. I'm going to skip this next part because I'm getting out. I'm running out of time here, and. I would just say a couple of things about it. You the big icon of faith. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, you see all the icons of faith. The big guys, the big hitters, Moses, there's Abraham, followers of God. All they heard was a message, and they left his own country. I took a job. My first time I ever saw the shore, like I said, was when I moved there. I went to Monalto for surveying, Monalto Penn State campus for surveying for 2 years. And I saw a little thing logo in there and said, hey, this firm down in New Jersey is not for surveyors. So I felt a favor. So I sent a resume down, I didn't have any much experience except for 1 week to get like part of your graduation requirement is you have to go survey for a guy for 2 weeks, they don't pay you nothing. Okay? That was part of the learning experience. But actually, field experience. So, anyhow, so I moved to New Jersey. And, the first time, it's the same thing as Abraham did. When God called him out, to go to live where he lived. Same thing. It is the same thing. Some of you have born, moved, and born places. It's the same thing. going where you've never been before. You know, I'm going to tell you this story. When I went down there, what happens is, I went down there, I drove all the way down there, and the boss told me, he said, when can you start? I said, I can start tomorrow. He said, you mean to tell me you drove all the way from Pennsylvania down here to New Jersey and you can start work tomorrow? I said, yeah, I got the books packed, ready to go. He said, we have the job. He interviewed out of 18 people that graduated from my class. Okay, he interviewed 17 of them. What made me do that? You know? What makes you do that? That's God. He's all my time. I look back at all the jobs that I've done in life. I worked for my wife's dad back in Bear Colin back in the time. And I worked for Bear to redid roofs and house framing and all that stuff. That was just the tip of the iceberg of me starting to learn how things come together. My grandfather was a carpenter. Many of the Reese singers now in Nickersburg, some of you know most of them, some of them. I'm related to half of them, so watch out. Okay. My grandpa had the, the Reese singer farm restaurant on top of the hill in Nickersburg. My grandfather built a movie theater back in them days. He built that bowling alley underneath it. Ooh, rolling. You go back some time, huh? That used to be the only movie theater we went to when we were kids. It was the next one way up in Lewistown. So, but it's just, God, follow God, and He will show you what you need to do. Now, at the time, I didn't know that. You know, like I said, at the time, the second time I went back, I came home, I went to New Jersey, I worked down there for about a year. And it took about a year off. A year of hiatus, came back, went to college for two more years. I got my engineering degree at Penn State Capital Campus, and a guy called me up today. He goes home and worked for me again. Because I knew how to work. I worked on the farm all my life, so I know how to work. You know? I was dedicated. Well, I want to get you into a man here. I want you all to, nobody knows the Bible, but if you turn to chapter, I got to go through this pretty quick. I knew I would. I figured I would. And I'm getting too worried here. But I want you to look at the Judges chapter 11. How many of you have heard the story of Japheth? Have you heard the story of Japheth?
Oh, come on.
Somebody's got to have this. There we go. We got one or two of you here. Okay, good. Okay? I'm going to give you a quick summary up front. Then I'm going to what I want to tell you here without him. Okay? Japheth was, his father was the Gileadite. He was the son of Ammonite. Okay? And then his father had married and had a wife, and she had four sons. Well, they kicked, and Japheth, they kicked him out. Okay? Because they didn't want him, he wasn't a true Jewish boy. Okay? So they kicked him out of the family, and he went off on his own. And he came out with what they call, it says in the Bible, vain men. Okay? These were what they call, when I say vain men, they mean immorally or worthless. Kind of men, he hung out with them. And it came over a period of time, I'm just going to put a brief summary here, in chapter 11, so we're going to stick on verse 29, so open your Bible to 11, Judges chapter 11, verse 29, okay? It came over a period of time that the Amorites were coming up against Israel again, okay? And so the Israelites sent the elders of the church, said, hey, go get Japheth, he's a man of battle, okay? So they said to God, him, they said, hey, we want you to lead us in this battle, because you're a man of valor and strength and honor. And he said, hey, I'm not going to do this unless you make me the leader. I'm not going to do it. I will do it. He said, you reject me all at once. He said, I'm going to be leader of it all. I'm going to do it. So they make him leader of it all, okay? And then he goes, then he goes and sends messengers to the kings of the Amorites, hey, why are you going to war against us? Why are you fighting us for the Israelites? What are you gaining out of this? They said, oh, the king, of course, and then just went back and said, hey, we stole our land, God, from us, and went back in the day, and back in your time. And you're talking, this is 300 years later, okay? So keep in mind the time span supposedly the Israelites stole the land from them, okay? This is 300 years later. And the king of Shinar, he comes out and says, well, what happens when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they went to the east side of the river. Okay, so they didn't go to the land of Moab or Edom. If you ever know in your Bible what they're like, but he didn't go into those lands. They stayed on the east side of that ground. So they never went into Moab and Edom and never took any of the lands of Moabites. But what happens when they were doing that, they asked permission of the king, said, hey, will we come across your land? And both of them said, no. But here, when they get up to like where the Amorites are, across the land of Moab, okay, they get up north of there, the king of Shimon didn't trust them. He didn't trust the Israelites. So he came out to battle with them. Okay, and what did God tell to them when they came to the land promised land? That any land I give, any people you defeat, it's your land to take. Any people you dispose of in those areas, it's your ground. It's your hallowed ground. It's your inheritance. So they go up there, and the king of Shimon came out and warred against them. And of course, Jacob, what did he do? The first thing he does, he goes to the Lord. He said, Lord, if you deliver these Amorites into my hand, the first thing that comes out, now I want to read the passage. But he says, if you deliver them into my hand, okay, I will do what I promise. Here's a man, Japheth is a man, he's committed. He's committed to doing the work. First of all, committed to God, because he went to God first. He said, God, what do you want me to do here? Lord, if you commit these Amorites into my hand, he said, I will keep my promise. So let's go to Judges chapter 11, verse 29. And I'm going to read you up to about 34, okay? It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Japheth and passed through Gilead, and they passed through Mizpah, and let's go up here to, Gilead advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Japheth made a vow to the Lord, said, if you would indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hand, then it will be whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Stop right there. Don't read anymore. What's he saying? When I come back from war, the first thing that comes out of my house, I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Guess what came out of his house? It goes on. Now, I have children. You know? And I can't imagine sacrificing a one of them. Even think to God. You know? I can't imagine doing that. But guess what? Like I said, Japheth was committed to God. And guess what he did? If you read later on the story, okay, the rest of it, if you read later on, his daughter what? Give you a quick summary. His daughter came out and said, do whatever you promised to God Almighty, said, do it. He said, just give me 2 months to be a runaway and have fun with my girlfriend. And then give me 2 months. And when I come back, you can do what you want. And guess what? He sacrificed his daughter for the Lord. Now some say he didn't really sacrifice, but some say he went away and be a virgin forever. But I believe Jacob was a man of God. He did what he said he was going to do. Why would you doubt him now? He was committed. All the way. He was committed to God. Are you committed to God? There are 4 things that I wrote down quickly here that keep us from being committed.
1. I'm going to go quickly here, so I'm going to write it down. That's ready. 1 is being overscheduled. Overscheduled to the point where we don't have time for anything else. Ephesians 5:15-17. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. For the days are evil. Therefore, be ye wise, but be understanding of the will of the Lord. Don't get too nervous, kid. Number 2. Another reason why we don't get to it nowadays so much is because we always have a door open. You know, the opportunity always knocks. Oh man, I can't work. I get another fucking hour over here. Look. Always keep your doors open. You never get committed. What I say to it was, without commitment, plans fail. It says, let nothing, Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done in strife or vain glory, but with lowliness of mind, that each of us esteem others better than ourselves. Third one, we don't value the word. How many have made a promise in that job? Everybody in here. How many have made a promise? It says I'm going to read Numbers 30:2. It says, Moses said to the children of men, if a man makes a vow unto the Lord and swear to an oath, this is what bound right here. It says, if a man makes a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul, he shall not break his word, but do all that proceedeth out of his mouth. You keep your word. Lastly, as we get complacent and comfortable, that's the biggest problem I think in Christianity. You know, we come to know Jesus. Accept them into our hearts as a Savior and Lord. And I got them. Forget everything else. Come on. I got mine. What does it say about the last day? What does it say about the last day? You see, the last day is approaching. Men will be lovers of themselves. Look at that. And where do we see that now? How about it? Look at the perversion that just happened in Easter. Sacred holiday. You know, I used to love to watch the rainbow, but the gay pride show kind of ruined that for me. But then I think, you know, God still charged the rainbow. I don't care what color they put their flag, God still charged the rainbow. And every time that sun comes up and the rain showers on the east, I'm looking for a rainbow. Because that's God's promise to me. This day. Now I'm kind of getting over the top here. I think I've hit about everything here. I'm going to say a little word of prayer here. And I'm going to close. I'm going to ask anybody this. If you want to renew your vows to God, if you want to get recommitted to God, if you never commit yourself to God, if you want to really come to know Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to come up here to the front. You know, every person that Jesus ever did, every one of his testimonies, every person he ever met, it was public. It was a public ministry. They all came up forward. They held hand kind of publicly to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to come forward here, I'm going to ask, you want to play a little bit of music? Play Amazing Grace if you could. Music? I'm going to have some time for people to come up. If you want to come up and recommit your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come up here now. Just warm up. I want you to get down on your knees and do this praise. But I want you to come up. And I'm going to sit down and say a prayer. If he's going to pray, I'm going to say a prayer. And we all be dismissed. Are you committed to Jesus? another day of life. Short, how precious it is. Lord, I just pray for each and every soul here today that they have a heartfelt passion. May be filled them with your spirit. That when they go out to these doors, they think every time and every moment they think Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Fill me with your spirit. And I may proclaim the gospel wherever we go. Proclaim your truth. Proclaim your love. And you have for each and every one of us here. Lord, bless our time together.